Okay, Proverbs 3. Today, it's Proverbs chapter 3. We're in our third lesson in the book of Proverbs, talking about choices.
Proverbs 3.
So today we're going to talk about a really important decision that we have to make. On a regular basis,
really important decision that we have to
and that's the choice to trust. The choice, we're going to have to make a decision each and every day, are we going to trust God? We're going to rely on Him. Who remembers what the last thing? We've talked about a couple of things here as we talked about choices. What? Anybody remember what the other two choices that we're thinking about making? And I said these first three lessons are foundational. They're kind of, they apply to really every area of our Christian life. And then as we go forward, starting the next time we're together, we're going to talk more specifically about some real practical areas where we make decisions. So we've had 3 weeks laying a foundation. Today we'll talk about making the choice to trust. Does anybody remember what the other choices were? To choose the Word of God, to choose to live a life grounded and settled on the Word of God. That was last time. And then the first choice, which is kind of the theme, we thought about wisdom, but then we thought about what wisdom does in our lives, and we talked about living a life that is based on what? Yeah, I am coming out of the speakers. Do you hear me? I don't know what's going on. I think it's the broadcast. Okay. All right, we talked about living a life based on grace, a grace-based life. Remember? Remember? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. We all remember we're on page together today. All right, so it's a life based on grace. It's not about my ability to do this or that, but it's to rely on the Lord to live in His power through me. And then we'd base that all on the Word of God. Well, it's all gonna come together when we make a simple decision to trust the Lord. So let's pray, and then we're gonna read our first passage of Scripture for today. Let's pray. Lord, help us as we study Your Word. I pray that You'd make it clear to us. I pray that it would encourage us, and I pray that it would challenge us. Help me to say what You'd have me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read Proverbs 3, 5 through 8, really familiar verses. You probably know them. Some of you might even be able to quote them. But let's out loud together read Proverbs 3, 5 through 8, and begin. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, when things are going well, it's important for us to remember to trust the Lord. I think often when we come to unexpected situations in life, and there are lots of unforeseen things that happen, aren't there? I mean, I've dealt with some unexpected things in the last couple of months, actually. And when you come to something that wasn't expected, maybe it's a trial that comes in, or maybe you had a plan, you thought, well, the next step in my life, I'm going to be here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this much money, or I'm going to have this job, or my family's going to have this, or we're going to make this next step. Sometimes it's like we take a detour. Anybody ever been on a detour before? And, I mean, we've all been on detours when we're driving, and sometimes life, it seems like, oh, what am I doing on this road over here? I really didn't plan on being here. This wasn't what I thought was going to happen. And then sometimes there are events that happen in life. We get sick, or somebody we know gets sick, or there's some tragedy that takes place, or things change in relationships that we have, or our professional situation changes, and some of those things are completely out of our control. And sometimes we find ourselves in these places where we're just confused, don't know what to do next, uncertain, did I make the right decision? Am I going in the right direction? And it's those times, most of all, where we need to just stop for a minute and remember that it's time that we've got to trust the Lord. We've got to depend on Him. We've got to lean on Him. We've just got to trust Him. You know, sometimes we come to places where we're just, because of these things, these unexpected, unplanned, uncontrollable events, we come to a place sometimes where we just get totally stressed out. Right? Or just me. Right? We come to these places where it's like, you can't get it, sometimes you don't get a good night's sleep because you wake up in the middle of the night and the mind is just going. And the mind's going here. And the mind's going there. And you're just like, oh, I just want to go back to sleep. But you don't go back to sleep because your mind is just racing. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we need to stop. We need to make a decision. Wait a minute. I need to trust the Lord. You know, there's a passage of Scripture that says, I think it says, He giveth His beloved sleep. Even sleep can be a blessing that comes from the Lord. And so sometimes it's a matter of transferring those things that we're allowing to consume our thoughts and consume our minds and transferring them to the Lord and trusting Him. So I want to talk a little bit about that today. We're just going to really, I'll bring in some support verses, but I just want to look at these four really familiar verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. So number one, the first thing that we're going to look at, and there's just two main points and then some subpoints under them today, but the first thing we'll talk about are the elements of trusting. What does it mean to trust in the Lord? What does it mean to trust the Lord? Well, you could come and you could give answers today. You could say, well, it means to depend on Him. It means to rely on Him. But there's some interesting factors, there's some elements, rather, in these verses that really explain for you and I, and to really get down to where we live, am I trusting the Lord? What's involved in living a life that trusts the Lord? Well, let's see what it says. First of all, verse number 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Both of those passages, when it talked about trusting the Lord, it had the idea first of total dependency. Total dependency. And where, what word reveals that to us? Yeah, all. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. But I think sometimes as Christians we're good at kind of dividing our life up into little sections sometimes. Where we may trust the Lord in this area, we may, or basically we say, well, we trust the Lord for our salvation, He's forgiven our sins, and I trust Him to save me. But then when it comes, if He can save my whole soul, but then when it comes down to something really simple, really insignificant to God, like my finances, right, then I get a little bit worried. Because sometimes when it comes to those material things in life, who am I really trusting in? Yeah, I'm trusting in me, or I'm trusting in my money, or I'm trusting in what I have, or my potential, or what I can do. But he says, listen, we've got to let go of our own, the things that we grab onto. You know, you've heard it said that, you know, what's an idol? You've heard the description before. When if somebody said, what's an idol? It's not just something graven out of stone or out of wood, but what would an idol be? The simple, yeah, anything that you put before God, right? But I think that's something, that's a true answer, right? So I put this before God, and I worship this before God. But sometimes we need to dig a little bit deeper and look at the real idols of our heart. And sometimes it's not always that we consciously say, you know what, I'm going to put money before God. We don't do that, and we wouldn't consciously make that decision to be greedy or to go out and to forsake God's things. We may even give our tithe. We may do those things, but it can still, those things can still be an idol in our life if we trust in them, if we rely on them. See, I could give to missions, I could give to tithe, I could be faithful with my finances, but when it all comes down to it, if in my mind, when my finances don't add up to how I want them to be, if that's what causes great fear to my heart, then guess where my trust is placed? Right there. It's placed in that. We can have idols of the heart like our spouse, your spouse. A wonderful blessing from the Lord could be an idol. It's something that we put our trust in, or our families, or these relationships that we have. They're things that all of our world can center around these things, and we put great trust and hope in them, and really those then become idols. We have to say, you know what, if we're really going to live lives that are trusting the Lord, then it has to be a life of total and complete dependency. By the way, as we go through these, if anybody has any life experiences they want to share, that talk about how you've dealt with something like this, or a comment, it's totally open this morning as we talk about these things. But this idea, does anybody have anything that they can go to in a time where they thought, you know what, I realized at this point in my life that this was something that I had my trust in. This was something that I had my complete dependency in. And I know that there have been times like that in my life. So a complete dependency. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. But then next, let's read it a little bit closer, see what else stands out to us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, what's the next word? Acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. That means every step I take, every decision I make, before I make that decision, who do I think of first? I think of God. I make those life decisions based on my relationship with him. So that would be total submission. We begin with a total dependency. Okay, I'm just going to trust you for everything, God. This is the life based on trust. Every part is I'm totally dependent on you. But that means that I have to totally submit to him. Complete submission. That says, you know what? As I make this decision, how will this affect my relationship with God? How will this affect my family's walk with God? And I believe one of the biggest struggles, especially for new Christians, and then it continues on, but it is that decision to say, you know what? I'm just going to obey God. I'm going to trust him totally, and I'm going to just obey him completely. Now, that is going to be a struggle throughout your Christian life, right? I mean, that's going to be a struggle always, to say, you know what, I just have to make a decision to obey God. But I've really observed that there are breakthrough points in our Christian life. Anybody know what, you know what I'm talking about there? A breakthrough point in your Christian life. It's as you grow in your faith and as you grow in your trust and knowledge and dependence on God, you'll come to a crossroads, spiritually speaking. You come to a clear-cut decision that says, wait a minute, am I just going to trust and obey God right now, or am I going to give in? Or am I going to say, you know what? I just can't do that. I'm afraid. I'm fearful. I can't take that step. I'm tired. The situation isn't exactly right. I can't take that step of obedience. And for every person, we come, especially early in your faith, you'll come to those crossroad moments. The decision that you make at that moment, and they happen throughout the journey as we grow in faith, but the decision that you make at that moment will have a lasting impact on your Christian walk. I've seen people that are on fire for the Lord, that are just growing and growing and growing, and God is using them, and they're taking little steps, but then it gets to something really, really hard, something that's a difficult decision to trust the Lord. And they say, oh, you know what? You know what? I just can't do that one. I can't do that one. And they back off. And do you know what happens? It's like everything just powers down in their life. And it's just somebody who was on fire moving forward. As soon as we say no to the Lord, we know what's happened, right? We've grieved the Holy Spirit. And it's just power right down. Now, that's where grace comes in. It's time to get back up, take the next step forward. But you'll never get past that point where God wants you to say yes or no. You'll have to come back to it, and you'll have to deal with it. And many Christians, they literally stunt their Christian growth. It stops at that point where they say, no, not that. I won't give that up. And I don't always think it's because they're stubborn and proud and angry, and I'm not going to do that. I think sometimes they're fearful. But did you know that even fear is a sin? Do you realize that? How many times in the scriptures God says, be not afraid. Fear not. We're commanded not to be afraid. We're going to, I just don't think I can do that. You'll never get past that point in your Christian life. But as soon as you say, you know what, I can trust God. I can trust Him with everything I can trust Him, and in every way I can obey Him. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey the Lord. Then your Christian life will catapult forward. You'll be amazed at what God can do in your life and the steps that you can take if you'll do that. Total submission to Him. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. The third thing here under the elements of trusting. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own what? Thine own understanding. That's thine own understanding is what? Somebody help me out here. Okay, great. That's a great one because Isabel said your own thoughts, your own ideas, which is true. And then Jerry linked it to your own experiences, right? A lot of our understanding, the understanding, and I wasn't even thinking of that, but the understanding that I have of the world around me is largely based on what I've experienced, right? I mean, well, this is what I saw happen. This is what I saw happen to this person. And this is what I know about myself. And, oh, the last time I tried to do that, or I can't do this. You don't understand what kind of person I am. I'm not capable of that. And we look at everything with our understanding, and we look at it the way that we want to see it. But God says, no, you can't lean on your own understanding. You can't lean on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Look at verse number 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So the third blank here is an attitude of humility. How do you imagine a proud person who doesn't trust the Lord? Somebody help me. How do you imagine that person? Like if you have a caricature in your mind of that person, what are they like? They're proud and they don't trust the Lord. What are they like? So they might be a rich person, okay? All right. Maybe an arrogant person. What do they look like? What is this caricature of this person? Maybe they're highly educated. Degrees, right? Like the Pharisees, yeah. I agree with all these. Somebody else. They think highly. They're like it says, be not wise in thine own eyes. They think they have a high view of themselves. That's a very proud person. They got through it on their own. Yeah, there are a lot of people in this part of the country like that, I know for sure, that people that say, you know what, I did it on my own. I got through it. I'm a strong person. I know a lot of people like that. Work their way up. So they're very wise in their own eyes. Somebody else. Frank. Right. Okay. Those are all really, really good answers. And there's one aspect that we didn't get answered in here. And I didn't expect anybody to say it. You gave all the answers that I thought we'd hear, and it wasn't a trick question. Those are all exactly correct, but that's only half of the equation. It says, be not wise in thine own eyes. We often think of people that are wise in their own eyes as people who have the proud person we always think of as somebody that's boastful, that has a high opinion of themselves. But there's another thing called false humility, okay? And it's just as easy for someone who has a very low view of themselves to be a prideful person. So some people think, well, I'm not, you know, I'm not very much. And they honestly think this. They have very low self-esteem. They're very insecure. And they say, oh, I'm not smart. I don't have much education. I don't have much money. My family that I come from isn't anything. They're kind of embarrassing. They're, and just boom, 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 boom. Find the nearest hole in the ground. That's where I live, right? Okay? Now, that's the pity party. But it's just as easy for a person with a low view of themselves to be prideful as it is for someone with a high view of themselves to be prideful. Because all of life is based on my understanding. I perceive myself to be strong and successful, or I perceive myself to be weak and unable. Well, whose voice is missing from both of those people's lives? God's voice. God's voice says, no, I have created you in my image. I have redeemed you with my blood. I have called you to my service. I want to make something of your life. I want to do something in you. Oh, yeah, but Pastor, you know, I can't do what you asked me to do there. You know, brother, I just couldn't do that. That's just not me. Well, who's speaking there? You or God? You speaking. I could never be a good father. I just couldn't. You shouldn't have known who my dad was. And you know, I can't do that. Who's speaking there? Whose wisdom is talking? Your own. Your own. But we, if we're going to live a life that trusts the Lord, we have to say, wait a minute. And sometimes we have to preach these sermons to ourselves. I'm serious now. Sometimes you got to get up in the morning, and when you're having that day where you may feel like, I'm a superstar, okay? You get up feeling like that, you need to preach a sermon to yourself. I am what I am by the grace of God. Or you get up sometimes feeling, I'm a loser, okay? I just mess everything up. I made a bad decision. And you got to preach a sermon at yourself. No, wait a minute. Do you remember what David said? David, there's the Psalms where David says, what's the where he talks to his soul? Does anybody remember that? I just thought of it now. He says, nobody knows what I'm talking about, huh? There's a Psalm where David's like, basically he's like talking to himself, but he tells his soul to trust in the Lord, and I'll look it up. My mind went blank. Well, there's one. That's not the one I'm thinking of, but he is talking to his soul in that one too. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That's a great one. There's another one I can't think of it right now. It's okay. Huh? No, my mind's totally blank. It's gone. I'm getting old, you know? It's what happens. So, you're all laughing at me. But the point is this. We've got to do the same thing. Whether it's that, wait a minute, just praise the Lord this morning. He's good, okay? You know, I made a decision recently to change jobs because I came to this point where I had to do something, so I changed jobs, and you know, you got to learn something all new, and your hours change, and everything's different, and sometimes you lay in bed, and you're like, oh, did I make the right decision here? Anybody ever been there before? Huh? Anybody ever, did I do the right thing here? And I said, wait a minute, trust in the Lord. He's got it under control. An attitude of humility. But there's one last element here that we haven't mentioned in these elements of trusting in the Lord. I'm going to depend on God. I'm going to submit to Him. I'm just going to quiet myself and my own voice, and I'm going to listen to His voice with an attitude of humility. But we don't do that, do we? We don't do that. A lot of times we just don't do it. Why?
We're afraid of fear.
Yeah. We're afraid of what? Yeah. We're afraid. We're fearful. Again, and I don't think it's that Christians are always just stubborn, and sometimes we are, and arrogant and just prideful, but a lot of times we're fearful. That's when the last part comes in. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy what? Heart. You've got to transfer your security. You've got to transfer your security. Bottom line is this. If we say, God, I can't trust you, we're saying, God, I don't think you're a good God. Right? I mean, if he's going to hold us in the palm of his hand, we've got to trust. We've got to say, you know what? We're secure there.
understanding that was really a breakthrough moment for me personally. Now, I still forget that sometimes, but I always go back to that. This is what I always come back to. And I say, wait a minute. If I'm in God's hands, I'm safe there. Because He's good. He's a good God. Do you believe? Don't answer out loud. Answer in your heart. Think about what you've been going through recently or decisions you've had to make recently. And answer this question in your heart. Do you believe that God has been good to you? Do you believe that He will be good to you? That God is good and God is good all the time? Look what I was putting references down here. You know, and I just did in some software I threw in this idea of God being good. And I didn't have room. I could fill these pages up just with Bible references to the goodness of God. Tons of them in the Old Testament, by the way, for people who think that the Old Testament picture of God is an angry God. So I pulled all Old Testament verses here. Look at them. Psalm 34. O taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. In fact, He's so good it's compared to tasting something. You have something good, put something good in your mouth, and it's like, whoa, that is good. It's something we can experience and feel and enjoy. That's the goodness of God. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is, what's it say? A stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. Psalm 106:1. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. We don't need to be afraid. Okay? And right now, hopefully the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, and whatever that thing is that's got a hold on you, the Holy Spirit is saying, yeah, God is good, just trust Him. Let it go. God's asked you to do something, you're too afraid to do it. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. His will for us is always, completely, and only for our good and for His glory. So don't be afraid. And so the Holy Spirit's saying, yeah, don't be afraid. And right now, hopefully, you're like, yeah, I'm not going to be afraid. Yeah, I'm not going to be afraid. But then, you're going to go home later or tomorrow night, and what's going to happen? The devil's going to come back, and it's going to be one of those breakthrough times in your life and you got to come back to the Scriptures and say, wait, God is good. Anything that's all messed up in my life, that's got to be my fault. Let me just trust the Lord and let Him work all this out. When we take it into our hands and put our security in ourselves, that's when we get scared and afraid. And boy, that's something to be afraid of. Don't trust in your job or your education. One car accident, your job's gone. Right? I mean, there's nothing in this life that is secure and safe. But God is secure, and God is good. All right, those are the elements of trusting. Let's finish with the second point this morning. Let's talk about the blessings of trusting God. Are you happy? Don't answer. I'm afraid. I don't want some of you will say yeah, and some might not. But seriously, are you happy? Would your kids say that you're happy? Would your family, would your coworkers say that you're happy? Really, are you happy? Do you have a song in the morning? Or are you stressed, grumpy, angry, and miserable? Which are you? Well, sometimes you're probably a little of both, right? I'll guarantee you, if you're stressed, angry, grumpy, miserable, just all in all, not happy. All right? If you're that, you're not trusting the Lord. That's an easy diagnosis. I'm serious. Easy diagnosis. Well, brother, I don't know if I'm trusting God or not. I don't know. I'm just not sure if I'm really trusting the Lord in my life. Are you joyful? Do you have the joy of the Lord? I mean, I don't mean are you like giddy and every day this is, oh, I'm just so glad the car's broken and I got to fix it again, okay? That's just so exciting. But I mean, is it like, oh, man, the car is broken again. Oh, well, I guess that's why God gave me the money. But it's the last $200 that I've got in the bank account. Well, good thing God put it there, right? Good thing God put that $200 there. Pastor Shetler, who I've mentioned him a lot, he used to always say, I heard him tell the story, like, you know, they'd been saving up money. They finally, he's like, it seemed like whenever he had just a little bit of extra money saved up, the refrigerator broke. This was a true story. He's like, we had some extra money, the refrigerator broke. And it's like, there goes all the extra money. And what do we do sometimes? We're just like, ah! And hopefully we control our tongue, right? But we say, we get frustrated and angry, and now we got to spend it. And God's in heaven, I think, and if I could be so presumptuous, it's as if God is saying, what are you so angry about? I gave you the extra money so you could get the new refrigerator. But I was going to get this with it, okay? But I had this, or I just wanted to have a little cushion in the bank account, right? And now it's gone. And God says, well, that's why I gave it to you. So it's not that we can't have these moments of frustration, but do we stop and think, you know what, God, thanks for meeting my needs. Thanks for meeting my needs. I got a little worried about it, but it's okay. It's only money. Did you hear what I just said? Oh, it's only money. I'll trust you with it. That's why I think people don't tithe, by the way. We'll do a whole week on finances. People don't tithe because they just don't trust God. I mean, it's simple and clear, just like that. You know, it's not because we have or don't have. It's, well, are we going to trust God or not? In fact, this passage, Proverbs 3, even talks about that. The very next verse is verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Jesus talked more about money than anything else because it's the biggest idol throughout all of human history. People trust in what they have. Oh, let's get back to the whole reason I got into that story. Are you happy? If you're not happy, you're not trusting God. Real easy. Am I a faithful, trusting Christian? Well, if you're a faithful, trusting Christian, then you're going to be a happy person.
Well, that's just not my personality. I'm not happy.
I'm sorry. The blessings of trusting God, because that's what blessed means, right? It says in the verse, trust in the Lord. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Well, first of all, the biggest blessing of just trusting him and letting go is that you'll never be alone. You'll never be alone. It's like what he said to Jacob in Genesis chapter 28. God said to Jacob, behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. You know, I think that applies perfectly in the New Testament. That God, he says, I will not leave you until I've completed what I've promised to do. And what does he promise to do? What does he promise to do for us? Well, he's promised to glorify these bodies, to redeem these bodies. The fullness of our salvation will be when my body is recreated and stands in the physical presence of God. And until then, I can have the confidence that he's still with me every step of the way. Some people, for whatever reason, their lot in life is to live a bit of a lonely life. And that can be kind of a sad thing, I think. Until we remember that with God, we're never alone. When we trust him, he's always with us. But when we choose not to trust him, it's like we're pushing him away. And there's so many lonely people that get angry that they live alone or angry that they don't have this or they don't have this relationship that they want. And instead of focusing on their relationship with God, it's almost like they push God away out of resentment. Instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to, and if you're a single person in here, more important than finding someone to share your life with is building your relationship with Jesus. And by the way, that's what you need to teach your kids too. If you build your relationship with Jesus and focus on loving Him most of all, then God will arrange those other relationships. God will bring that to pass. Trust Him. Just trust Him. But it's the people that push Him away that then run into all kinds of destructive, dysfunctional relationships because they want to put their security in a human being instead of in God. You'll never be alone. And then the next thing here, God will guide your decisions. God will guide your decisions. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. It was a song when I was a kid. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Yeah, you clap your hands there. That's how it goes. But it's a simple truth. It's like, I remember when I was in college at that age, everybody was always like, you know, what is God's will for my life? When you're young, it's like, what is God's will for my life? What does God want to do with my life? Where am I going to go? Or whatever. And it's like, and there was a preacher that would come through, and he'd be like, it was Bill Rice, and he'd say, you know, what is God's will for your life? He said, brush your teeth. And you know, what was his point? His point was, you don't have to know what you're supposed to do tomorrow. What you have to know is what you're supposed to do today. Do what you're supposed to do today. Trust the Lord. He'll bring it to pass. Nothing wrong with making plans. But as the verse says, I've got it written down here, Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and what? He shall bring it to pass. It's good to make plans. It's good to have an idea. I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. So long as we do what? Commit it to God. God, this is my plan. Please, change it all as you see fit. I'm just going to follow you every day. I'm going to make a plan, but God, you can take me on the detour. You can scrap the plan and we can do something else. But you commit your way unto the Lord, first of all. Then let Him bring it to pass in your life. God will guide your decisions if you trust Him. That's the blessing. Then the fear of God will guard your heart. You mean the fear of God is a blessing of trusting Him and knowing Him? Absolutely. I'm glad that God has given me a fear of Him. It scares me to death to watch how some people live their lives. You know why? Because they're going to have to answer for it. There's no fear of God before their eyes, the writer of Proverbs talks about. But it's a blessing to understand how big God is and how great He is to be reckoned with and how I should just say, you know what, God? I'm going to obey you. The fear of God will guard your heart. Listen, if you're married or want to be married, okay, look, the fear of God will guard your marriage. Okay? A man shouldn't step out on his wife because he loves his wife, amen? But also because he fears God. The marriage bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge, the writer of Hebrews said. I mean, there's that healthy balance there that my motivation is, yes, I love my wife and the vow that I made, but I made a vow before God as well. The fear of God. Young people, you don't want to mess around and be having sex before you're married. Well, for one thing, because God's created you for so much more and such a greater blessing. But also, you ought to fear the judgment of God on your physical body. He that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body, the Bible says. Fear the Lord. Your soul may be safe and saved from heaven, but God will judge your body if you defile His temple. The fear of God guards your heart. It keeps it safe. It keeps it secure. And I'm thankful for that. Verse number 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And then the biggest, the final one, I love verse 8. I like verse 8 because it's one of those kind of strange statements that we don't use in our Western culture. It says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Health to, I've never finished a greeting card with, you know, it's usually love, Ethan. It's never like, and may your belly button be healthy. Okay, I've never finished that one. May your bones be strong. Okay, but that was that kind of a statement in Near Eastern culture. It's this idea of health and wellness, but they use a physical description. But it really, they often talked about the middle of your body, and really, they talked about the heart, but also about kind of the seat of your person, kind of emanating from your bowels, your innermost being here. And that's where God wants us to be the strongest, the healthiest. And we'll experience, if we just trust the Lord, we'll experience a full life. You will experience a full life. That's why I said, well, how do I know if I'm trusting the Lord? Are you happy? Or are you discontent, grumpy, and contentious? Psalm 37, 3 and 4 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. When we'll stop trusting those idols that we love so much and we cling to, we let them go, and we cling to the Lord, then we'll experience all of the fullness of life that he has for us. Sometimes it's like, man, you might get up, and I'm going to finish with this. Some days you're like, man, I'm just not a very good Christian. Anybody ever felt like that before? Yeah, me too. Man, I'm just not a very good Christian. I keep messing this thing up. I'm just not doing it right. And so we're just going to beat ourselves down. Failure, 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 loser, okay? But the voice of God says, no, wait. Just trust me and live by my grace. You made some bad decisions yesterday. Yesterday is done. It's under the blood. Make the right decision today. Then make another good decision. Then trust me over here. Then trust me. If you look at this and you give yourself a quiz today, and you're like, man, I've totally failed miserably at trusting God. Well, the great thing is you can start trusting God right now. And it's step by step by step. And then you won't trust him the next day. And you'll be like, man, I'm a terrible failure of a Christian. I just give up. No, that's the devil talking. That's your own wisdom talking. Let God's voice speak, and then trust him step by step by step. But, like I said earlier, if there's one thing that you know, I mean, it's clear in your heart right now, I said no to God about this. I said no to God about that. You'll never get past that. And you'll be like a hamster on a reel, running, 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 and you're never going to get anywhere. So let it go and trust the Lord, and you'll experience the fullness and the blessing of your Christian life. I'm not going to tell you it's easy to do that, but once you do it and you get through the difficulty of letting go and base your security on Christ, then you'll experience his power, and then you'll wonder, why didn't I do that so long ago? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you're a good, gracious God. Thank you that we can trust and rely and depend on you, that you're strong, you're capable, even though we are so weak. I pray for people that may be struggling in here with trust and faith. I pray that you just encourage them, help them to walk close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.